So that means every year I'm going to give you almost 15% of your money back to you.
So I'm here with Ben Braverman from SMS Financial Services. Thanks for joining me, Ben.
My pleasure, Francis.
Thanks. And I wanted to do this just to get the word out about what's going on right now, because I think this is a limited opportunity and rates will change. And we don't want to feel bad that people didn't take advantage of something really great when it existed. So you're fond of a phrase that I've adopted and love, saying income is on sale right now. So can you tell us a little bit about what you're alluding to there?
What we all can agree on is interest rates right now are much higher than they were 3 to 4 years ago. What that does in the indexed annuity space relative to guaranteed income. So when I say guaranteed income, I'm talking about the ability for you to give a financial professional like Francis X amount of money, and in a certain number of years have an unequivocal guarantee of an income stream, essentially a private pension in retirement, that'll never run out. So interest rates are high. Insurance companies have the most yield they've ever had before. That yield can be given back in the form of higher guarantees to clients. And for that reason, we're saying income is on sale. Because in 2020, the 10-year treasury, which is a nice benchmark in our industry for interest rates, was at 60 basis points, which is an obnoxious financial way of saying 0.6%. Right now, the 10-year treasury is at 4.1, 4.2%. So when I tell Francis, or when Francis gets the word out that income is on sale, what she and I are trying to communicate is that if you're someone who's at, in, or near retirement, and you have the opportunity to lock in these high guaranteed income rates, that's retirement financing, not totally unlike individuals that we all know, and some of us might even resent, who locked in 2.5 to 3% mortgages, right, 3 to 4 years ago. They locked that in. That was a super attractive thing that they could only get. And who knows? I'm not a mortgage expert, but it might be hard to ever get a rate like that, or get a rate like that for quite some time. So this is the same type of buying opportunity for individuals at near retirement. That income is at a significant discount because rates are so high, and the guarantees, the unequivocal guarantees you see today, may not be here to quite the same degree a year from now, 2 years from now, certainly 3 years from now, as rates will eventually come back to earth.
So Ben, will you tell people, because it sounds like maybe you're recommending this product, but you are not, in fact, in sales. Can you explain what you do for people who are listening?
Yep. So I'm a consultant to financial advisors on marketing and product. So I help financial advisors grow their practice, get more clients, and then help them navigate the waters, because there's hundreds of indexed annuities out there, hundreds of different indexes. So I help advisors select the best product for their clients, but in no way, shape, or form do I directly solicit business from consumers. I'm what's known in the field as fundamentally a wholesaler or a marketer. So I act as an intermediary, and I've done this as an intermediary in the mutual fund space, which also has wholesalers, variable annuities, and now index annuities. And I get to work with people like Francis.
Nobody can call you and buy this annuity directly from you. They have to buy it from someone who's licensed in the field to do that. And those of us who are rely on you. When I call you and I say I have a certain case, or I use the term privatize pensions as well, because people have those options they can take from their pension. And one of them is to roll it outside of the pension. And if we can do better doing that for somebody and give them more options, that more freedom, more liquidity, delay the taxes for a while if we want to. There's so many reasons to do this, but I want the best product. And so we've talked a lot lately, and I've just worked with a number of people who were forced to make their pension decision because the company made a change. So they all got letters saying, you have to make your decision by this date. The options they were given were, you can take a single payout, you can put your spouse on it, in which case you are reducing the amount that you'll get monthly, expecting to give money to your spouse. But the big hiccup here is if your spouse predeceases you, you've sacrificed that money for the rest of your life. You can't just go change your beneficiary like you could on this kind of an annuity. You could just put whoever you want on it whenever you want and change your mind accordingly. So they can take a single payout, a spousal payout, or they can transfer to an account that has been set up for them. But usually, which, you know, they don't know a lot about. In this case, they didn't even know which company it was going to be. And take your chances, or you can transfer the money out of there as a non-taxable transaction and roll it into something like this annuity. This particular annuity gave them a 30% upfront bonus for income purposes, 30%, and an 8% minimum roll-up guarantee for 10 years or until they turn income on, whichever is sooner. And they still have more liquidity and the ability to change beneficiaries. But what that does is it takes somebody who might have had some losses in the market or who might be saying, gee, I'm getting close to retirement. I'm not ready to turn on my pension income yet, but I sure would like to make the most of it. And it drops another 30% on top of that, and then an 8% minimum guarantee, which is why we're saying income is on sale. If you could go to the bank and lock in an 8% CD for the next 10 years, my guess is you would run at it, you know? And if they offered you a 30% bonus on top of that, plus more market upside potential, I mean, that's the worst it can do. So people often say to me, well, that sounds too good to be true. There's no free ride. Where is this company making money? So again, I'm going to ask you to explain where companies like this make money. And we are talking about a big, fat, healthy insurance company, A-plus rated carrier with a huge history.
So first of all, thank you for making it clear. I am not a distribution for consumers. So that I am not the person to call if anyone
call
is
Ben.
Listening and thinks a private pension and retirement sounds interesting. I strictly deal on the institutional level. The other thing about pensions and the reason why we see a lot of pension replacement is even if you can get a couple dollars more from an annuity or maybe even a couple dollars less, you actually still have control of the asset. Once you annuitize a pension, that asset is fundamentally gone. There might be some type of spousal death benefit or some type of spousal continuation. But with an indexed annuity, should your circumstances drastically change, be that an inheritance or anything else for that matter, you could turn off the income and still actually have that asset versus making a decision to take that pension and then never having any freedom or flexibility with it. In addition, there's a lot of concern, rightfully so, about some pension solvency. You see pension funds being sometimes mismanaged, and that's not my area of expertise. I'm not going to talk about specifics, but you know, you can do a quick news search and gather pretty quickly in that not all these pensions do you feel 100% about versus, as Francis alluded to, an A-plus rated insurance company. The other thing I would add, we talked about this on the show a few weeks ago, but when Francis says 30% bonus, 8% compounded roll-up, what does that fundamentally mean? That means that you as the consumer can put in, and these are numbers I'm kind of pulling out of a hat, but put in $100,000 and be guaranteed $10,000. What is that? That's 10% of your initial purchase payment guaranteed for the rest of your life. Think about it like purchase payment, and it becomes much easier to understand. The one other thing I want to touch on before we get into pricing is something called annuity alpha. So when you're in growth mode, when you're growing your retirement assets, when you're contributing to your 401k, or your financial advisor is managing your post-tax or pre-tax dollars, what do you want he or she to do? Or for that company to do. You want to grow. And that's known as seeking alpha, okay? But once you get into retirement, what's the most important thing to you? Is it to grow your savings as much as possible or make sure that relative to longevity, right? Relative to longevity, be it living to 95, 99, 100, which we're saying happened, Charlie Munger in Omaha, I think died at 99 or 100, people very much can live that long these days. You want to make sure you don't outlive your asset. Find me one mutual fund, one ETF, one combination of stocks and bonds, what have you, that can guarantee an income stream that you will never outlive, regardless of market conditions.
Right.
The answer is you won't be able to find it. It doesn't exist.
It can't.
So it can't exist. Right. Which is why there will be, we're at the height right now of what's known as the silver tsunami, which is the 10,000 people turning 65 every day. We're at the peak. Yeah. There's still a lot more to go. And those individuals, when rates do come down, they'll still need guarantees for the reason I just alluded to, which is no portfolio for a mass affluent individual can guarantee an income stream that will never be outlived. They need a guarantee because, to bring it full circle, what part of the three-legged stool of retirement do consumers not have anymore? Savings and Social Security have always been there. My parents are a bit older. What did most people's parents have that nobody has anymore, for the most part? A pension.
Pensions, sure.
So this is that private pension in retirement.
The whole thing about pensions is, when the government said, okay, we're going to augment these with a 401k, and now you can contribute to the 401k, that was meant to be in addition to your pension. But what happened is companies said, hey, we'll just give you a little match in your 401k and we'll get rid of the pension because it's expensive for us to keep. And then eventually they said, yeah, we're not really going to match much anymore or anything. And so now we're back to self-saving in a 401k. What happens for people if they maybe don't want to take the income now? I mean, let's suppose you're still working and you're in a situation where you're forced to make your pension decision. And one of your choices is, you know, you start taking payments. You might not want those. Even after you retire, I talk to a lot of people these days who say, well, I'm not one to sit in a chair. I don't know what the next chapter is going to look like. So having this particular feature in this product that allows you to turn the income on and back off again is very appealing, because you might retire. You might say, I'm going to travel for a year. I don't really, you know, maybe I want that income, maybe I don't. And a year from now, I'm going to figure out whether I want that income or not. Maybe you turn the income on and 3 years later, an opportunity comes your way. And now you've got plenty of money coming in from whatever you decided to do in your next chapter. You don't want to be paying tax on the income being pushed to you from your pension if you don't need it. So you could turn the income off, do whatever you want to do with the rest of your income, and later on in the future, turn it back on. It will still be at the same rate it was when you turned it off. It won't get higher just because you waited a few more years, but it's doable. And you could salvage those tax dollars by doing that. So it gives you an option you would never, ever have with your pension. Once you turn that lifetime income on with your pension, that's it. It's a permanent decision. You're not going backwards. And it's a stream of income that's going to get taxed and pushed to you whether you want it or you don't.
I'm also not a tax professional, so don't call me, please, about any of the comments I'm about to give. But in retirement, there's a lot of hidden taxes that the ability to be able to turn off income can be super important. For example, for a lot of mass affluent individuals, they don't know that their Social Security can be taxed up to 85%. That's something that you've paid for already, right?
Yeah.
But a lot of consumers don't know that that can be taxed up to 85%. And for some consumers, that's unavoidable. But if in a year they don't need as much income, or if in a year perhaps they started working a work optional job, they wanted to do something that they really enjoyed, and suddenly they have a lot of 1099 income, well, suddenly they could be taxed higher on their Social Security. The other thing that a lot of seniors in particular need to think about is Irma.
Only yeah. Seniors who are married to somebody named Irma are thinking about Irma.
No. Well, this is why you want to talk to professionals like Francis, but basically your Medicare Part B premium can increase if you jump levels, and some of that can be through income. So that pension might look super attractive right now. We can probably provide something that's more attractive because income is on sale right now, but having the flexibility to harvest your income, which is a term I really like, harvest your income relative to your given tax year is definitely preferential to just an income stream on top of Social Security that you may not need or want in a given year. So it comes back to that flexibility of retirement and working with a financial professional to adapt to said flexibility and changes.
People who know me know I don't do these shows very often where I'm very specific about a product. And although we're not giving the name of the product, we are talking about one specific kind of fixed indexed annuity. It's not the only thing we use. We use others as well. Some have cash bonuses up front rather than income bonuses like this. But for this particular need, you know, being able to just whop a 30% bonus on top of your dollars and then add that 8% compounded roll-up as a minimum guarantee, could do better, can't do worse, is really important. Now, there is a fee for this rider, which is a 1.1% fee, which is slightly less than what most mutual fund managers would charge you to manage your mutual fund. So yes, you're paying that fee, but that's what's giving you that 30% bonus and 8% roll-up. Now, mark my words, the reason we're doing this show right now is because you and I talked about this and I thought, I'm going to feel really bad if it changes, the rules change, and you can't get this anymore. I remember well when the same product had a 10% bonus and a 7% roll-up, right? Now it's at 30 with an 8% roll-up. If you're looking to recoup losses or maybe even move from another carrier where you're unhappy with the earnings, but you've got some surrender charges, this might be a way for you to think about, you know, putting your pension back in your pocket. You might not ever get the opportunity to do again. And anyone who knows me knows I let people make their decisions at their leisure. There's no high pressure here. I am not a henny penny. I'm not a person who says, you better hurry up and sign this right now. You know, I just say, you know what? Here's what I think is best for you. If you agree, let's do it. And if you don't, then we'll keep looking for what is the right fit for you. I'm going to try to just share my screen for a moment and just show a quick little calculator. But let me just give you an idea of what this can do. I've just put in $100,000, as Ben mentioned, on a 60-year-old person, and I've run this out 10 years. So here's what happens. 10 years from now, that $100,000 would guarantee a minimum payment annually. You could take it monthly if you wanted to, but annually of almost $15,000. You can see that that 30% bonus is right here in writing, and here's the 8% compounded roll-up. Here's year one, age 60. By the next year, you can see it's gone up to $140,000 already. That's because that 30% bonus and 8% roll-up have been dumped in immediately. And you can see on this little calculator, and this calculator is open to the public. I'm happy to show it to people. You can see what happens every year you delay. Now, by the end of the 10th year, that value that they're calculating your income on has now grown from $100,000 initially in 10 years to $280,000. And it's paying out almost $15,000 a year. Remember, this is a guaranteed minimum. That's the worst you can do. It's the baseline. Every situation is different. You know, it may sound good to you. It might not be the right fit. You might not think it's the right fit. And after we talk about it, it turns out that you say, oh, well, I didn't realize I could do that. Just being able to control your beneficiaries. That one feature. Forget the bonus, the 8% roll-up, anything. Just being able to control your money. Instead of just checking a box and saying, okay, I'll take whatever the designated account was that they sent me, is really what we're talking about when we're talking about privatizing a pension.
I did the math. That's about 14.9% of the initial purchase payment.
Yeah.
So that means every year I'm going to give you almost 15% of your money back to you. Not to mention there's a cash account that's growing, right? So I like to talk about column B and column A. Column B, I might have gotten that from you, Francis. Column B
did,
is your benefit base. Yeah. That's your income benefit. Column A is your accumulation value. So not only are you getting this stream of income as a complement to Social Security, but you're also getting this sustained cash value that's growing independently. And what is that? That's real money. That could be money that you could tap into should you become confined or need some additional cash. I mean, it is legacy, but there's a lot of other ways that it probably might get used first with less than, I think, about 23 or 24% of retirees having any form of long-term care, either because the carriers have gotten unaffordable or the underwriting's too challenging. So that's real cash, and that's real value.
That's
as a
trip
a compliment
to Italy.
To the guaranteed income. Yeah, that's a trip.
That's
or something fun. Yeah,
that's
do
your
it.
Travel money, right?
Your travel money versus the pension where you're not going to have that side account. The one other thing I would add is earlier, Francis, you said sometimes consumers say, well, it's too good to be true. Well, if you're dealing with a quality carrier, it's really not, because the fact that 4 years ago, the carrier in question, 10% bonus, 7% compounded roll-up. The reason that they offered that at that time was because that's what they determined they could afford and they could guarantee. because this is what's known as a unilateral contract of adhesion. That's what an annuity insurance contract technically is. They're saying, we promise this to you, not, hey, well, not an IOU, not we'll see if we can do it. This is a hard contract where they're guaranteeing you this income. So again, it's not too good to be true. It's a reflection of the highest interest rate environment we've been in a very long time, the highest interest rate environment ever since the advent and innovation of index annuities, which is why it really is time to sound the bell that don't look at these products with a speculative eye. Look at these products as a big buying opportunity right now. If you could go back to 2008 and buy Amazon or Apple or Netflix at $7 or $8 a share, you would probably do it, right? That was not investment advice, by the way, if anyone's
nobody took it that way. Nobody can go back and do it. Yes.
Yeah. Yep. But right, if you could do that, what a time to get in. If you could get a house at a 3% mortgage or 2.5%, what a time to get in. Yes. If you can get guaranteed income where in 10 years you're going to get 14% of your money back, and that'll never run out potentially for you or for your spouse if you want to do joint or single. Wow, that to me seems like a huge buying opportunity for retirees and for those near entering retirement.
I agree. I just want to be upfront about the fact that there are surrender charges on the contract. Just like if you took out a CD and took the money out early, there would be a penalty for doing it. But they only take effect after you take out your free withdrawal. So after the account's a year old, you could take 7% of your balance out without a penalty from the company every year. Now you have to pay taxes on it, you know, on the growth, depending on whether it's an IRA or not. But you have access to that money. You would never have that in your pension. In addition to that, once you turn lifetime income on, you could do that after it's a year old. No penalty. Right? So those surrender charges are only there to protect the company so that they know they can give you these guarantees if you should decide to just take your money out and walk away after a short period of time without turning on income or without using your free withdrawal. Simple as that. You want those in place.
If you become confined to a nursing home or you develop a terminal illness, this applies to a majority of annuities, but the one we're talking about in particular today, the contract becomes liquid in its entirety.
That's right.
I don't mean to throw shade at our friends on the money management side of things, but a lot of the objection that you'll hear from typically fee-based financial advisors who are managing money and doing a good job, but typically they get a fee, a 1 to 1.5% fee. They'll often say, well, annuities aren't liquid, and that's really bad. But can I explain real quickly why this whole liquidity thing to me? So whether it's a 9-year surrender or a 12-year surrender, first of all, you only ever typically put at most maybe 60% of your assets into an annuity. So you're always going to have liquid money. No insurance company, no, nor any professional advisor like Francis is going to lock up, quote unquote, even lock up all your money. In addition, as Francis alluded to, you have what I like to call liquidity corridors. Liquidity corridors is your hallways of liquidity every year that you can take out of your annuity if you need some money. But here's the other thing about this whole liquidity thing. If you have, let's say, a $500,000 IRA or qualified pre-tax asset, I already established that if you're in a nursing home or you have a terminal illness, you can access the whole thing. But under what other circumstances do you want to cash out $500,000 in taxable assets in 1 year? Right. I'm just curious. Like, liquidity is great. Have an emergency fund. But if you need to suddenly break the glass on a $500,000 or a $250,000 of your life savings, and it's not a terminal illness and it's not a nursing home, like, talk about a taxable event. And also, other than a nursing home or something like that, when would you need that much liquidity?
Yeah.
So that would be my gentle pushback on this whole concept that these are illiquid assets. I mean, they have to be priced in that fashion. Sorry, I get a little defensive on that topic, Francis. Though.
No, it's okay. I actually can think of one instance when somebody might want to just completely change their mind and say, I want this money and I'm going to do something else with it. So let's suppose that two people are married and the husband, now in the pension, if the husband put the wife on his pension, and the wife predeceases the husband, he's stuck. He gets his lower pension payment the rest of his life. He can't change his mind on a beneficiary. He can't say, well, my life has changed drastically now, and I'm going to go live in, you know, Venezuela. I want my money. It doesn't exist. You're getting a monthly payment. That's it. But with this product, if either spouse predeceases the other, the surrender charge goes away and they have the opportunity immediately. Do I want to just take this money? So it might be the husband's contract and the wife might be the one that passes away. Under most contracts, the husband would still have to live out the terms of his contract. But under this contract, he gets to say, I'm sorry, my life has changed drastically and I would like to take my money and do something else with it. Now, maybe he doesn't take it out in a taxable event. Maybe he rolls it to something else. But because his wife has passed away, he gets a free out. The do not go to jail, go to, you know, he gets the free out on those surrender charges. And that's unusual for this type of a contract. So that is a time when somebody might just say, geez, I just don't know what is next for me. And I want liquidity. I want access to those funds. And this contract gives you that for no extra charge. It's just part of the contract.
So that feature is exclusive to this strategy. I haven't seen it elsewhere. It speaks so much to a commitment to the flexibility of retirement because unfortunately, to your point, married couple, 30 years, buys this annuity, either spouse dies, perhaps for the surviving spouse, they want to change up how they were going to live out the rest of their years, right? It's called spousal continuance. And typically the way spousal continuance works is if I buy an annuity, a typical annuity, and my wife passes away, to your point, I'm the primary owner, and therefore I have to stay with that annuity or surrender it. And to your point, what makes this strategy so innovative, it's just another one of the, but wait, there's more that makes this so attractive, is the fact that if either spouse passes away, the surviving spouse can walk away from the contract, which, you know, if you just signed up for a 9 or a 12 year strategy and in 2 years in your spouse passes away, why would a carrier, why would a company, why would any money manager not say, okay, we might need to re-examine how we're going to play this out. Another nice thing about that 30% bonus, Francis, relative to just opportunities right now, is what happens next year. The Personal Tax Cut and Jobs Act is set to sunset in 2025. So what we're seeing for some individuals is you can actually do a Roth conversion and pay ordinary income tax on that conversion right now. So if you're roughly at a 25% tax burden, you have $100,000, it takes $25,000 to pay that money to be a Roth. Not a tax expert, don't call. But if you're following me so far, so if you're at a 25% tax burden, well, this product has a 30% bonus. So it's not truly offsetting your taxes, but it is lessening the blow a little bit because guess what? In 5 years, 5 years from the conversion, the assets, the guaranteed income that comes out of that strategy because you paid the taxes today as opposed to tomorrow, it's something we say, do you want to tax the harvest, if you will? That income stream will now be tax-free. So these are some of the innovative strategies that Francis and others utilize to just get better retirement incomes. Now, that might not make sense for everybody, but that's, again, the really nice flexibility of these products and speaks to the level of innovation that's happened in the annuity space in the last decade, which is why so many professionals are leveraging these products and especially why so many consumers are getting a great buying opportunity right now.
I think
if the Roth stuff was wonky. I really like
it. It's not wonky. I just wanted to do, not wonky at all. I just wanted to do a little math on it. If you had $100,000 and you pay $25,000 in taxes, it leaves you the $75,000 to reinvest, right? So that $75,000 goes into the annuity, gets a 30% bonus on it, which brings it back up to $97,500, and an 8% roll up on it, which brings you over $105,000. So, and you're not going to pay tax on it in the future. So this is an opportunity. Yeah, 5 year wait, right. But this is an opportunity for you to, dare I say, legally wash your money. It's an opportunity. I don't think so, but I just think I did just for fun. But it is an opportunity for you to take advantage of Rothing your account at a time when you might not otherwise have done that. You just say, oh, the tax burden is so big, I don't want to pay it. There's a real resistance to that. You always have such great points, Ben. And I'm going to close this shortly, but I want to go over one major obstacle. And I had this question yesterday, in fact. Somebody called me and was ready to do the annuity. And then they said, but I talked to my friend who works for a captive agency, right, as a mutual fund guy. And he said, annuities aren't his expertise, but he says, when I die, the company keeps the money. And I said, you're right. Annuities are not his expertise. And he said, but also, he said, there's a lot of fees on these. And I said, well, he may be talking about a variable annuity. He may be talking about an immediate annuity. He may be talking about a number of things. But what he's not talking about in any expert way is this fixed indexed annuity. And so I just want to make it very clear that when you pass away, if you own this product, the money does not go back to the company. It goes directly to your beneficiaries, avoiding probate automatically. They have a check in short time, what, maybe 10 days. And you get to decide who gets that money, not the state, not the insurance company, you. They do not keep your money. It's not true of this annuity. If you're talking to your mother or father in this position, what do you tell them?
This is an enormous buying opportunity. We don't know. I don't have a crystal ball when rates are going to go down. But when they do, these benefits will still be attractive, but not nearly as attractive. So if you are at or near retirement, if you have a pension that you're thinking about, should I take the pension payout or should I take the lump sum? If you recently separated from service, let's not forget there's a lot of people in their 40s and 50s who have dormant 401ks sitting on the sidelines. That's money that you can put to work today for your future later, right?
You touched on something I have to say. You may Sure. not have separated from service. You may still be employed, actively contributing to your 401k. But if you're over 59 and a half, you probably have an in-service transfer available to you where you can pick up that money from your 401k or any portion of it and roll it into this kind of a product. If you're 59 and a half or over, this is probably available to you. And you can still keep money in your 401k and still continue to contribute to it. So, I mean, we could probably talk for another 2 hours and still not get all the details about this. But the point is here, act now. I don't think I've ever said that in a video ever, but I don't want to talk to you, you know, a month, a year, 2 years from now and hear, well, I want that 30% bonus and that 8% roll up, because I'm telling you, it's not going to be here. It will change and it will change fairly soon. It has to when rates go down. And I think everybody believes that this is a high point. Rates will go down eventually. When? We don't know.
So if you're listening to this and you're thinking, you know what, I would like an extra $10,000 or $20,000 in retirement so I can sleep better at night, I would call Frances and get to work right away because she's incredibly busy and these rates aren't going to last forever.
If this is something that could help you, get in touch with us. And you can find us at hugyourmoney.com. Pretty easy. Hug like everybody needs a hug. Yourmoney.com. Or you can reach us at 413-773-3333. Thank you, Ben Braverman, for doing this with me. You're always wonderful. You have great insight, great tips. And I love that you're not selling anybody anything directly. And you're just there to tell people what the real scoop is.
My pleasure, Frances. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ben. You know what, Ben, as
yeah.
usual, this last after the show chit chat.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Yeah, I made sure to have my double espresso this morning, so I was ready to roll. And I thought it was nice of you to be like, I typically act now. It's because there's a real sense of urgency, and I think that's an appropriate comment to be delivering to. I get cold. I think that's an appropriate comment to be to delivering. And I was on the phone with an agent the other day, and he's like, "What if rates go up even further?" And I was like,
what if, yeah.
You're the one only, man. Okay. Yeah. Right. Things could look more attractive.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, but even if they did, what if they go up further? I get that question from people about their mutual funds. Well, but I have higher earning potential. Yeah. And you have loss potential. That's up to you. If that's what makes you comfortable and that's what you're happy with, do that. But if you're tired of losses, or you're happy saying, I'll take an 8% minimum and some market gain if it happens above that, because that's the answer. If rates go up, if it goes up for one day, during the year. Both of those columns get bumped up. I know you have to go.
All right.
Thanks.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Have you heard about Get the Tea? It's an online herbal supplement company with high quality standards. You cannot find these in stores. They carry cleansing teas and targeted herbal supplements for all your health needs. Go to getthetea.com today to order yours. Health shouldn't be put off. It should be a priority. And check out their specials page for sale items. That's getthetea.com. Enter code TEA123 for 10% off exclusively for my listeners. Getthetea.com, code TEA123. Order today. This is Frances Rayum, the Money Doctor. Now you can become 100% debt-free, budget successfully, and retire well, all under the Hug Your Money umbrella.
There was a time when we never even thought about debt, never worried about debt. I mean, I could literally take a month off, and all of a sudden we got here because we didn't know how to do the money. And it's a shame because of our age that we didn't know how to do it. But somewhere we got lost, and this is where Hug Your Money has turned our life around. I'm very excited about it. We've got as much money now as we had in debt before. And we did this in 3 years. 3 years we did it. My name is Bill. Yeah, I'm going to retire in May, and I'll be 71 in June. I've been working a long time for this.
Debt, budget, retirement. Hug works best when we work together. Schedule your free consultation with a Hug Your Money coach today. Visit HugYourMoney.com. Hug Your Money. So unique. It's patented.
Financial literacy and the human condition. Welcome to Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Frances Rayum.
Welcome to Financial Fitness. I'm Jess Tyler, along with the Money Doctor, Dr. Frances Rayum, who is welcoming a special guest to this week's show.
So, Jess, I'd like to welcome our guest, Dr. Bob Weil. He's a longtime sports podiatrist and fitness expert, and basically all things fitness. So whether it's money or feet or anything in between, Dr. Bob knows about it. So, Dr. Bob, welcome.
Hey, it's great to join you. Again, you know, like we both laughed that the sports doctor was going to join the Money Doctor. You joined me on my radio show last month, so great to be here.
Thank you very much. So would you just give our listeners a little bit of a background about yourself and why you and I have connected to talk about these things?
Okay. I'm celebrating like my 45th year, give or take a few weeks, on the radio, mostly as the sports doctor. And again, I'm a sports podiatrist, and the radio show is called The Sports Doctor, and it's about all things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness, whether it's concussions, whether it's nutrition, whether it's sports psychology. Of course, the role of the foot is a big deal, being a sports podiatrist. I am the co-author of the best-selling book, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents. Youth sports is a big topic. And I am a 2019 inductee into the National Fitness Hall of Fame, which, by the way, over the weekend, celebrated their 20th anniversary. So happy anniversary, National Fitness Hall of Fame.
Happy anniversary, indeed. How nice to have you on the show at the same time. It's wonderful. So when you and I connected and talked about preparing these high schoolers for college when it comes to what they think is going to happen in the sports world, given the image and likeness laws that have come about in the last couple of years, you had plenty to say about it.
Last couple of weeks. Yeah, you know, even in your world of, money doctor and the whole world of money management, if you're not healthy, then none of it matters. So the whole idea, whether we're talking about super seniors or we're talking about parents of young athletes, like you just mentioned, where the world of college sports has been turned upside down regarding all of these different ramifications, athletes being paid, different situations. And you and I also absolutely paid attention to a topic that I've talked about for decades, which is the families with young boy or girl athletes. They might be traveling teams. They might be club teams. It's very expensive. So educating parents and coaches about all these important points is something we include on the Sports Doctor regarding educating parents and coaches.
Well, I think you're doing a great service when it comes to sports. I mean, we talk about sports on our show just about how expensive they are and how parents manage to finance very often or pay for the sports to just help these kids get through high school or even grade school.
Yes, my world of figure skating, you know, where the 2010 men's Olympic gold medalist, Evan Lysacek, grew up here in Naperville, Illinois. I put orthotics in his skates when he was like 10 years old. I'm still putting orthotics products and 10-year-old figure skater skates.
Yeah.
And where we have these kids who are 10, 11, 12 years old are already very, very serious with what they're doing, whether it's figure skating or ballet or gymnastics or whatever it happens to be. And club and traveling teams, again, is an expensive situation many times, let alone the traveling expenses. So, again, the topic of, you know, trying to be educated regarding if your son or daughter is involved in one of these situations, it could be costing parents $10,000-$20,000 a year for their 12-year-old's volleyball membership. It's a big topic.
It is, certainly. And I think, you know, what parent wants to say, especially when a child comes home from school and says, I made the team or I'd like to try out for, what parent wants to say, we can't afford that. So,
absolutely. And again, you know, my main emphasis is, you know, it's interesting. We have a documentary that'll be coming out sometime in the next few months, Where Our Children Play. The Chesapeake Films, Joel Franco is the creator. And for 4 years or so, I've had him on the radio. And the reason I bring him up is when he first talked about the business of youth sports, he said, you know, it's a $13, $14 billion industry, Dr. Bob.
Mm.
5 years later, as we're getting ready to launch this thing, he said it's $100 billion business. It's a big, big deal. And staying out of problems with physical injury, overuse injury because of the pressure on these kids, or mentally, you know, in the last Olympics, we saw the, you know, Simone Biles talking about mental challenges and Michael Phelps. So we really pay big attention to those aspects and topics, even more than we do about how expensive it is, Dr. Francis.
Well, I think that's absolutely true. And the lack of attention given to the expense, you know, first of all, causes parents to do things like refinance their home or get a home equity line or put money on credit cards. And they don't want to share that with their kids. They're busy trying to keep their kids in childhood and moving forward as positively as possible. A lot of that is about the mindset, which you talk a lot about. And so when we talk about, you know, healthy mind, who wants their kids to be thinking about what this costs them? So there's a real secrecy to the amount of expense that is involved in this.
Oh, many times we'll see with individual coaching, one of the organizations that I'm involved with is a board of advisors in the sports medicine fitness area is Baseball Blue Book. Baseball Blue Book was founded in 1909. And the one place to go to find out all sorts of information, where should my young boy go to school, who should his coaches be, et cetera, how should he train, all of these kinds of things. One of the points being, you know, individual coaching for some of these kids, whether it's a quarterback coach or it's a specific sports coach, again, very expensive. So if you're an athlete yourself and you have children and therefore you have big plans, exciting plans for them, of course, to experience sports and all the great things about it, you also want to understand that it's going to be potentially very, very expensive. So being educated on what makes sense is an important topic to try to stay out of trouble. You know, where were you when I needed you?
Well, that's very interesting. Is the Bible really still the blue book that was written in 1909?
Well, now it's all, we're very, very excited. It's all going digital, and we're very excited about the launching of radio shows. Information, again, you know, in this day and age, you know, is, whether it's recruiting, whether it's scholarships, whether it's, and we could talk about this in almost any particular sport, where we have all of these questions regarding these pressures. And again, like you and I spoke about when you were on Sports Doctor last month, the whole world, for instance, of college sports, if your son or daughter is a very talented athlete going to a college, they now, you could sign a $1 million contract with the local car dealer. You know, years ago, the NCAA, Dr. Francis, if you signed a hat or whatever, they throw you out of school with the rules. So there's been tremendous upheaval of money in sports. Hey, yesterday, Kirk Cousins signed for $350 million for 4 years or whatever it was. So all areas, whether it's the parenting side or the coaching side or the scholarship side, where you have new stuff, new rules. You know what that young girl, Kate Clark, is worth coming out of Iowa, who just set all those scoring records?
Yes.
And interesting, you know, years ago I had somebody on the show and they were a financial person. Their point was that 5 years after a professional athlete's career, about 75% of them of broke.
Broke. Yep.
And
yep.
This was like, whoa, what are you? So again, the education, even if you just signed a multi-million dollar deal, your 18-year-old son quarterback, then you want to be able to be educated on, let alone if you win the lottery, right?
Yeah. You know, you were talking about this NIL name, image,
yes.
and how much money these kids can sign for. We're asking, you know, high schoolers to go into college and sign these deals. I would say they're ill-equipped. They're not equipped at all to manage this money. And who gets this money after all, right? Why is it such a competition in the colleges?
The Wild West. It's
yeah,
now
absolutely.
The Wild West. So again, having parents educated, if your son or daughter is involved at this kind of level, having coaches educated, again, if their players are involved at this kind of level, then we want them to be educated regarding options and smart decisions when, again, some of these challenges could be overwhelming, both, you know, physically and mentally. And education is the name of the game. You know, and awareness is such a big word because, again, one of my favorite sports writers, he's been a guest of mine numerous times, Rick Tellender, is one of the Chicago Sun-Times lead sports writers. He's written for Sports Illustrated for years. And this is a gigantic topic that they're talking about is money in sports. You know, a college makes $150 million a year from their football program, and the kid doesn't get a nickel besides the scholarship. So, you know, I would imagine that you guys are, you know, have a whole new area of challenge for educating some of these families.
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, that debate has been a hot debate for a while about, you know, should these athletes be compensated or not? And, you know, the colleges can pay them for scholastic excellence, which is something parents should pay attention to. If you think you've got a hot shot athlete and they're going to go to college and make $1 million, you know, you need to think about just what Dr. Bob just said about the scholarship.
Well, I'll tell you something that's amazing. The term student athlete was a legal term years ago. So a college, once that boy graduated, let's say he had surgery, he had knee surgery because of an injury in football. And once he graduated, there's no more coverage and whatever. You were not an employee of the school. You were a student athlete. It was a legal term.
Exactly.
And it's interesting. If you were selling peanuts in the stadium and you got hurt, you would always be covered. Workman's comp. So this whole, it was an interesting world of semantics, and it still is, regarding, you know, some of these different challenges besides, let's say, that athlete gets a concussion, has all sorts of complications 5 years later, 10 years later. Who's responsible, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a situation where, I believe it or not, I've included lawyers. Sometimes come on and try to tell us what the heck is going on here.
On that note, we're going to take a short break.
You are listening to Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Ram on WHMP. We'll be right back.
Every day, financial ads claiming to be different from the competition. Are they? I'm Francis Ram, the Money Doctor, and I'm about to make a bold statement. I believe the thing to focus on isn't their uniqueness, it's yours. No one has the same financial situation or needs as you, and no one can help us help you better than you. But the truth is, when it comes to managing money, most of us are not as successful as we'd like to be. No matter how focused we are, it's almost impossible to separate emotion, and being in a relationship can further compound the issue. That's why I developed Hug Your Money. Financial coaching, coupled with online software and tools to empower you to manage money wisely. We guide you every step of the way to resolve immediate issues and plan for your financial future with modeling scenarios. So whether it's debt, budget, retirement planning, or a financial crisis, having a Hug coach in your corner is like having a new best financial friend. Hug Your Money is as unique as you are. In fact, it's patented. Visit HugYourMoney.com.
So we're back with Dr. Bob Weil. We left off talking about lawyers, so tell us what role lawyers...
Well, I'll tell you something. You know, there was a contest years ago between lawyers, doctors, and insurance companies. And realistically, the insurance companies won over the years regarding all of these different challenges that we might be facing, you know, our healthcare system. It's no news to everybody. And that's why we have people on all the time trying to explain to us, whether it's Medicare or whether it happens to be school situations, the ramifications of some of the different healthcare challenges. And sometimes it becomes overwhelming for many, many individuals. So we want an educated population as much as possible. And again, when we're talking youth sports And we're talking traveling teams and club teams. And there's a chapter in my book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, called The Prodigy Sports, where, you know, we want young boys and girls, everybody listening, to play multiple sports when they're growing up. We don't like early specialization, and we see repetitive motion injuries. Imagine the tennis player swinging the racket 5,000 times a week, or the skater doing nothing but jumping, doing the same thing. However, when your son or daughter is in love with a particular sport, like, think gymnastics or ballet or figure skating, and now even, you know, soccer and tennis, that's what they want to do, even at 11, 12, 13 years old. So my show over the years, where we've had various experts, whether it's nutrition, whether it's the physical challenges of training, whether it's all of these aspects, regardless of the sport, we want to be able to be educated, because overuse injuries are an epidemic in capital letters.
Yes.
Overuse, the famous Tommy John elbow surgery that even the non-sports fan recognizes. My orthopedic guests who come on, like Chris Ahmad from the Yankees or Dr. Brian Cole with the Bulls and White Sox, there's Tommy John surgery being done on teenagers. Just tremendous overuse.
Yep.
So we need to continue. And the more talented your son or daughter is, the more you can become susceptible to all of these things that we're talking about, overscheduling and over-traveling. And Dr. Weil, don't you understand, my daughter's ankles are killing her, but if she doesn't take two Advil three times a day, she might get cut from the team. All these kinds of things are a big deal. And again, the families and the parents and the coaches are in the middle of it when it comes to the responsibility of, oh, by the way, the kids are supposed to be having fun. I thought I'd throw that in.
Yeah. You know, you brought up a good point about some of the sports that maybe are not at the top of the list. Maybe they're not football players. As a podiatrist, you do a lot with custom orthotics. And just to flip a little of myself in here for just a second, you know, I'm a ballroom dancer. And I was at the point where I could not dance any longer. And somebody put custom orthotics, tiny little custom orthotics.
Bingo.
Didn't show in my ballroom shoes. And I continued to dance after that. It corrected my feet. And
I still dance today.
Because
And it's the same kind of orthotics size-wise we might put in a figure skate or a woman's dress shoe.
Yep.
Orthotics are, again, the whole point of alignment, the whole point of balance and stability has a lot to do with foot mechanics. Imagine you're looking at somebody who's got flat feet. Next to them is somebody else who's got high arches. Next to them is someone who's bow-legged. Over there, somebody's knock-kneed. Somebody's got leg length differences. So the type of shoe you're in, the sport you're in, I'm a foot specialist, and half the young girls I've seen over the decades are knee problems. Many persistent lower extremity problems are foot-related. And again, some of the best athletes I've seen over the years are dancers. There's no doubt about it. And once we start getting barefoot and we get into point shoes and whatever, that's a great example. I remember you shared that on the show. The parents ask me all the time, I have a great line for you, parents and or coaches, does my son or daughter or do I need orthotics? Great question. I say, let's talk about whether you'd benefit. When properly done, whether we're talking about an 80-year-old super senior or a 12-year-old tennis player, when done properly, orthotics almost always are a step up to prevent problems. You know, today, preventing falling is such a big deal with our super senior population. So include podiatry, especially if your son or daughter is a serious athlete, or you are, or you have a history of postural problems, include podiatry. Are you in the best shoe? Would orthotics, what role could they play with you? So I'm glad you brought that up, because it's a big, big deal in the area of fitness and sports medicine.
Well, these are the things that people don't necessarily think about. They might be complaining about their back or their knee, but really it may be stemming from the way they walk or the way they stand or the fact that their feet are turning in or out or something like that. And I think we tend to look at, we tend to point our finger at the most obvious thing immediately. And just to talk a little bit more about money on this, we do the same thing with the money. We're busy focused on the sports and will my kid go to college and are they going to turn pro? And how much money is this? Yeah, we're shelling it out now, but how much money is this really going to yield in the end? These guys are going to have you know, my kid's going to have this great professional life. And the fact of the matter is,
professional life is one out of millions.
Exactly.
You know, the college Division I is one out of hundreds of thousands and thousands. So again, you have to be realistic when we're talking about some of these goals. You know, it's interesting, getting back to my gold medalist figure skater.
Yeah.
I can't believe we just celebrated 14 years since this kid won the gold medal in men's figure skating. But I had his mother on my radio show the month after he won. And I said to her, because it was such a topic with parents and sports parents, I said, Tanya, how did you know it wasn't your goal, that it was your son's goal, that you weren't pushing him, that you weren't overdoing it because he was so talented? She said, you know, Dr. Bob, the kid had ice time at 6:15 in the morning. I never had to wake him up. There he was in the car with his gloves on. So yeah. Your overzealous parents and coaches, in many instances, again, either giving parents maybe false hope. After all, we want you on the club team and et cetera, et cetera. And the fact that, again, these things that can be very, you know, parents are spending tens of thousands of dollars a year for specialized training and for traveling and sports teams and expenses. So that's why it becomes such a big topic. And again, it puts even more, that young boy or girl who knows their parents are upset about and hassling about, yeah, you know, it's that ice time is so expensive. The whole thing's a nightmare. So this is why many times we're interested in stressing the positive side of things. And one of the main goals, of course, is to stay out of physical and mental pressure. There's so much attention to mental health today. It's the biggest topic.
For sure. Certainly. We do have some time left, but I wonder if you would talk a little bit about where this NIL money goes, the fact that students getting into college can earn some of this money, but who actually gets it? Is it mostly just the superstars that get it? What should parents expect for this, and what should the students expect?
I think if you're in one of the named sports, like football or basketball, it's a whole different world. If you're on the girls' fencing team or the rowing team, there's going to be nowhere near the notoriety. Mm-hmm. So, again, this is all new stuff. So, again, we say to people, be educated. Find out from people who can help you regarding how to handle some of these different pressures, whether it's the physical pressure, preventing injuries, enhancing performance, whether it's the mental pressure. Again, there's a tremendous mental pressure on everybody involved, the more talented your son or daughter is. And then there's the financial side. So this is, again, why we want people to be educated. And I'm sure there's many, many people in your profession who are paying much more attention to this regarding, you know, being educated. This NIL thing, it's brand new. It's like the transfer portal. Every time we turn around, these athletes are transferring from one school to another and et cetera. So it's a little bit of Wild West, and that's why we want people to make educated decisions and to remember the importance of rest and recovery and reducing stress out there, sports mom and dads.
Even for the sports mom and dads, which brings me to my point. You said there's probably a lot of people in our industry, you know, kind of getting on the bandwagon and thinking about educating these people and how to manage this money going into college. And I would say I think there are probably a lot of people looking to manage the money that is made at college or in
well,
college.
Exactly. Well, that makes an awful lot of sense. But again, it's a new world. That hasn't been the reality except for the past couple of years, tops.
Yeah.
So again, that's going to be a very, very interesting time. I know we're running out of time. So if people want to find out about me and my show, have them go to sportsdoctorradio.com. We have thousands of followers, lots of education on LinkedIn, on Facebook, the other platforms. And if they want to follow us, get educated, at SportsDoc, DOC Radio. And it's been a pleasure trading radio shows with you, Dr. Francis and Jess.
Well, I appreciate that. But we're not quite ready to let you go yet, if you don't
mind.
I still have a couple of questions for you.
Okay.
So one question I have for you, Dr. Bob, if you don't mind sharing it, is to talk a little bit about female athletes and what kind of unique hurdles you see them face, because Apparently, recently, women's basketball, volleyball, and softball, and swimming, oh, and diving, I think, have beaten out men's baseball and soccer in these NIL deals.
Well, again, you know, the female athlete today, different world. The unbelievable skills in all the different sports. Bigger, faster, stronger. There are five times as many knee problems, females to males. As girls go through puberty and the hips widen, there's a different angle down to the knee. Hormones come in, there's different flexibility. So many knee problems are foot related. So I tell parents and coaches, because many times if the feet don't hurt, they don't pay attention. There's knee surgery performed where the doctor never took the girl's shoes off. So when it comes to the female athlete, we see all sorts of knee problems, overuse. We want to pay attention to foot mechanics as well as the idea of the physical training as these girls are becoming so much more skilled in all of these different sports. And the business size, again, of girls, women's sports has quadrupled even in the past 5 years. So again, much more financial concern regarding the young female athlete. But physically, again, this is what I just mentioned, ACL, the major knee tear injury, still 4-5 to 1 girls to boys because of biomechanics. So you want to be paying big attention posturally to these young girls and the importance of physical training in all sports. These young girls are incredibly impressive. Watch women's basketball. You get blown away.
Yeah, women's basketball, you're talking about those NIL deals, that grew by 186% in 2022.
Now, you see nothing yet. Women's softball is exploding as we talk. And I was dealing with the Olympic and national volleyball teams since the 70s and 80s, I have pictures. There's not more of a physical athletic capability when we're talking about these volleyball players. And you mentioned, again, diving, the whole swimming side. Mm-hmm. So there's an explosion. And but which sport do you see the highest percentage of these NIL concerns in your experience?
I think it probably has to be women's basketball recently. I mean, compared to men's basketball, that men's grew at 67%. Women's grew at 186%.
Yes, isn't it amazing?
But I think across the board, you know, and you've driven this point home quite often, is that we really need to talk about education and educating these kids and their parents, actually, about what to do, because they could be managing thousands.
Well, that's why I have the three words that I've been talking about for 100 years, give or take a few weeks, as a main part of the sports doctor. The first word is awareness. What are we talking about? What do we need to really expose? The second word is education, what we've spent the past whatever amount of time talking about. Number three is, again, a positive action, making a difference, making some changes, incorporating different things. And all of these topics involve these same three major areas. You know, you've got to be aware of what the concerns are, what some of the new challenges are, and they are huge. And again, the world of young girls' athletics has exploded. Youth sports, again, look for the documentary where our children play, The Challenge of Youth Sports, probably by the summer. All of these challenges, from the overzealous parents on the sidelines, from the reliance, you know, you take a look at these serious young kids, half of them are living on Advil and ibuprofen in order to be able to continue to play because everything hurts. So we really need to pay attention. Again, the social media challenges, good luck to all of us, Dr. Francis.
Well, I agree. But I will say, if somebody wants to take positive action and talk to Dr. Bob Weil, can you tell us how they can reach you?
Yes. If you go to sportsdoctorradio.com, you'll find out all sorts of information, great stories. If you go over to radio shows, you can go back years. International guests, national guests, local guests, myriad of topics. So all sorts of information. And my show is live every Wednesday, bbsradio.com, the same network that your show also airs on.
And don't forget to check out the book, hashtag HeySportsParents. Dr. Bob, it's great to have you, and I hope you'll come back again.
Great joining you.
This was Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Ram. We'll see you next week right here on WHMP.
Have you heard about Get the Tea? It's an online herbal supplement company with high quality standards. You cannot find these in stores. They carry cleansing teas and targeted herbal supplements for all your health needs. Go to GetTheTea.com today to order yours. Health shouldn't be put off. It should be a priority. And check out their specials page for sale items. That's GetTheTea.com. Enter code TEA123 for 10% off exclusively for my listeners. GetTheTea.com, code TEA123. Order today. This is Frances Rayum, the Money Doctor. Now you can become 100% debt-free, budget successfully, and retire well, all under the Hug Your Money umbrella. But I want to say something.
Go for it.
I was terrified that once we retired, we would never be able to take a vacation, and that was really important to me. With the budget that we prepared together with Frances, we still would be able to have some money for vacation.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's been extremely important for helping to make us feel secure about what our future is. Hi, I'm Robin. We're certainly glad we took the advice of a friend. Cheryl?
So, Edinburgh Fringe Festival, here we come.
We can probably make it possible. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And hug your money.
Hug works best when we work together. Visit hugyourmoney.com. Hug your money. So unique, it's patented.